Well, good morning, everybody. Hallelujah. Come on, let's try that again. Good morning, everybody. All right, get up on your feet. Let's declare together this confession I believe is so important. Say with me, lift your hands up to the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might, I take up the whole armor of God that I may stand in the evil day. And having done all, I stand. I stand in the power of His might. All things are under my feet. In Jesus' name, sickness is under my feet. Poverty is under my feet. Depression is under my feet. Problems are under my feet. In Jesus' name, I've got the victory. Now give three people a high five and let them know that you're mighty in Jesus. Amen. Can I get a praise the Lord in this house? Amen. Is this working now? Is my mic working? They said it was having problems earlier, and I didn't want to take the chance until I give them a chance to fix it. Is it still buzzing? There's something wrong with it. Okay, well, let's just cut. Let's go with this. This is a microphone that is my favorite microphone. Now, this microphone's been missing for 1 year. Yeah, it's been gone 1 year. And, well, Mr. James said it hasn't been a year, but I say it's been a year. It used to be a different color. It used to be blue, and they painted it black, I think. Well, anyway, and they sent it off to a microphone repair business. You know, the experts, because we couldn't fix it. And they had it for months, sent it back, said it's not fixable. And we found a guy that's not even a professional. He said, let me take a look at that mic. And guess what? $15, he fixed the mic. Isn't that something? So that tells me that sometimes people that say they're professionals and know what they're doing, just don't know what they're doing. But how many know that God knows what He's doing? Amen? And God can fix you. He can fix you today. He can fix me today. Well, we're 1 week out from Christmas. I'm looking outside. I'm thinking, this is like a spring day. This is beautiful. What a wonderful day. I mean, are you loving it or what? People are saying, well, I just want some snow for Christmas. You better shut up right now. We don't want to talk to you about snow. No, 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 no. We don't want anything to do with that. But we're just enjoying Jesus today. Hallelujah. How many believe today that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about your future in 2007. How many believe in that? Amen. You know what I found out today for the first time? I didn't even know this. I've been driving and getting off of Route 58 off of 2 for years. I didn't know this unless they just changed it. But it says Amherst Lorraine Route 58. But what's the exit number? You all don't know either, do you? See, you never look at the exit number. Guess what it is? 7. Isn't that incredible? And I just allowed the Holy Spirit to speak that to me. And Cain spoke a message, and we had some tremendous messages here Thursday night. And he talked about the 7th year is a year of release. And that was in my heart, you know. And as I was pulling off, I said, look, Tina, it's exit number 7. I said, that's an exit of release. So when you get off that exit to come to this house, guess what? You are getting off into release. Hallelujah. So how many of this morning are in this place and you say, Pastor, I need a release in one area or another in your life? Let me see your hand. Okay, stand up. We're going to pray for you right now. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, every person that's standing on their feet, every person that's listening, oh God, on the audio of this message, Father, I believe that need a release. Lord, you gave us a word. You said, Father, in the 7th year, there will be a release. I thank you, Lord, that even today, prophetically, you spoke to us, even as an exit to get to this house, is exit number 7. I believe today, Father, that people that took that exit, they took that release, oh God, into their life right now. We pray, God, that debt will be released. We pray, God, that the children who are in rebellion will be released. We pray today, Father, that marriages, oh God, that are in trouble will be released. We pray, oh God, that prosperity will be released. We pray, oh God, that increase will be released. We pray, oh God, where the enemy has come in like a flood, the Lord shall raise up a standard against him, Father. And we thank you for every person that's standing in this room, because they are going to experience the release of the Holy Ghost. And we'll give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Now I need everybody to rejoice for about 20 seconds in the Lord. Come on. Come on, rejoice in the Lord. Come on, lift up the name of Jesus. Come on. Give him some shout of praise and give him some glory. Come on, thank the Lord that your release is already coming in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Now, I believe it's important. That's right. That's right. Lift it up, brother. Lift it up. This is a year of release. It's a season of release. A moment of release in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to tell two or three people what you're believing God to release. Come on. You got to confess it with your mouth. Tell two or three people, I'm believing God to release, and then whatever it is, I want you to tell two or three people what that thing is in Jesus' name. And if you're listening by audio, I want you to know this. You need to tell somebody right now what you're believing God that you're believing for in a release in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Is this working? Is this working? Okay. Praise the Lord. Huh. How many are glad came to the church this morning? I'm glad I got up and came to church. Praise the Lord. This is a good place to be, a place of the house of the Lord. I'm excited about it. Don't miss Thursday night. Don't miss all the opportunities. Now, we are having church next Sunday morning. Somebody said, are we having church? It's Christmas Eve. Is the Pope Catholic? Of course we're having church. Do I ever cancel church? No, I don't care if it's a blizzard. If I can get here, you can get here. We're going to have church next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And then, of course, next Sunday night is Christmas Eve service. That's at 6 o'clock. That's our traditional service. We have a great time there, so don't miss that. And then Christmas Day and all of that, New Year's Eve and all those things, it's going to be a great time. And we're believing God for a great, great year. Luke chapter 1. Come on, get your Bible out. Let's get right into the Word of the Lord. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to look at a couple of verses here this morning that I believe, oh, that background's not going to work, my friend. You're going to have to put something else on there. That is not going to work. So whatever you can do, they're looking up at that going, no, I don't think so. I didn't. But Luke chapter 1 and verse 30 says this. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. It's interesting that when you find favor, you can't let fear and favor walk together. In other words, for favor to have its full operation in your life, you've got to let go of fear. And you might want to write that down. No fear, then you could have favor. Fear and no favor. So we have to understand that the angel of the Lord spoke and said, Mary, don't be in fear because you have found favor with God. Verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. You know, I want us to know that this season has more for us than just the traditions of our celebration. Understand what God, through the Holy Spirit, accomplished in this great story of Christ's birth. I mean, go back with me to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah and chapter 9, and this fantastic verse that talks about this great mighty Savior in verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. He tells us the government will be upon his shoulder, or responsibility, and his name will be called, say it with me, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And watch this in verse 7. And of the increase of his government, now, conjunctive word, and in the increase of his peace. So it's the increase of his government and the increase of his peace, what does it say? There shall be what? No end. There shall be no end. There shall be no end. There shall be no end of what? The increase of his government and the increase of his peace. So we can fully expect every day of our life to experience increase of the government of God and of the peace of God in our life. Because if there's no end to it, what you've experienced and received from God up to this point is not all that there is. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell them there's more to the kingdom of God than what you've already experienced. You see, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7 that Jesus Christ left all of glory to come to earth. He took off all his majesty, all of his power, all of his realm of majestic entourage was left in glory and became a baby and was born on this earth. But understand what he came to establish. He came to establish a place of might on the earth. The King of Kings, all of his glory, walked out of all of his glory into a realm of glory. In other words, the glory of heaven on the glory of the earth looked different, but the substance of the glory of heaven was the same substance of the glory that was born in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ, born in the glory of God, the manifest presence of God. And he was born that you and I might establish a place to dwell in on the earth. There is a place of great might of which we can operate from. In our confession, we talked about it earlier, that I stand in the power of his might. Having done all to stand, I stand. Therefore, we begin to declare that there is great might or strength of God that's made available to us who believe. That when we believe, we're transferred from one place, the kingdom of darkness, into another place, which is the spirit of might. Everybody make a muscle. Yeah, the spirit of might. That's what I'm talking about. Not in the natural, but in the realm of the spirit. You and I operate out of a headquarters of great might. You know, the world is looking for might in all the wrong places. Looking for authority or power in all the wrong places. It's not found in a stable. Even though we might depict the birth of Christ in a humble manger and we might say, therein is the power of God. But it wasn't in the stable and it wasn't in the carpenter shop as a little boy growing up and working alongside of Joseph, his father. It wasn't found in the rabbi's robes and it wasn't found even in the temple or the Garden of Gethsemane. It wasn't found even on the cross. If we're not careful, we'll become religious and attach ourselves to these icons, attach ourselves to these symbols, and say, if I can only hold the baby Jesus, I can have the might of God in my life. No, 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 it doesn't work that way. Oh, if I only put a cross around my neck, I know that no Dracula can get me. You know, we start thinking all these superstitious things and we feel like if I can just go to the temple, if I can just get to the church, if I can just make a pilgrimage to this sacred place, then I can feel the might of God. But the might of God is not in that place. Jesus came to establish a place of great might in our lives. And the might of the Holy Ghost is within. Now the joy that he brought to the world, and Jesus brought some joy to the world. Hallelujah. He brought some joy to the world. God measured the joy that he brought to the world through what he brought as a gift. The joy of the Lord was wrapped up in the package called godliness. Meaning if we put on righteousness, if we put on godliness, then we can find the joy of the Lord, which becomes our strength. See, we can't get deceived by religion. Religion is going to try to tell you the pathway to might is through religiosity. But we've got to be careful that we don't get seduced by traditions of men. That we don't get seduced by the religious wrangles and arguments and debates of those who philosophically would try to cause us to be induced by their theological positions and give us to be convinced of their right over wrong. Wait a minute, wait a minute. It's not in a place. It's not even in a word. It's not even in a sermon. It's not even in a song. It was in the glory of the Lord. Listen, when you woke up this morning as a believer in Christ, how many are believers in Jesus? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. If you were a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells me that the glory of God has been manifested upon you. That's why Isaiah the prophet said, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Look at somebody and say, on you. On you. And then look back at him and say, and on me. That's important that we get that. It's important that we understand that. You see, Jesus' name means Savior. And God measured the depth of man's need and had to send a Savior. God measured the depth of your need. Where you have lived all of your life, even as a believer. Because there never comes a time in our Christianity where we don't need a Savior. Be careful that you think you've come to the place that you don't need a Savior anymore. I'm not suggesting because you're sinning. I'm suggesting because if we come to a place where we don't think we need a Savior, we come to a place where there is no might, where there is no glory. But if I always stay in the place of dependency upon the glory and the might of God, I'm going to see myself as one who is very needy in the presence of God. I need rescued this morning. No, that wasn't a very good amen. I said I need rescued this morning. You need rescued. See, that's part of salvation, is to rescue us. From what? From sin. From self. From sickness. From Satan. That's why I've got to have Jesus. Because He knew the depth of my need. He knew my propensities. He knew my vulnerabilities. He knew my weaknesses. He knew where I could be seduced and where I could be overtaken. And even in this day, December 17th, 2006, God, in His infinite wisdom, knew what I'd be facing today, because He is a Savior and He knew the depth of my need. And I don't know that I won't find myself somewhere in an intensive care unit trying to believe God for a healing for my children or for my grandchildren. But I know this, I've got a Savior who already knew that I had a need, that when I get there, He will rescue me. Come on, somebody, give Him some praise in here. Come on, put your hands together and shout, because you got a Savior that knows the depth of your need. Hallelujah. I can't allow myself to think that something happened and caught God by surprise. And God woke up this morning and said, what are we going to do about this? He knew the depth of our need. That's a place to give Him praise. Just lift your hand with me. Just lift your hand with me and praise Him, because He knows the depth of your need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You've already been in my tomorrow, Father. You've already been in my next week. You've already been in my next year. You've already been there. You know the depth of my need, and you have rescued me, for you are my Savior. You see, the devil wants us to keep out of that place. Stay out. Don't get to that place of the might of God. And there are barriers. There are walls. There are those things that we have to cross. There are schisms. There's those oppositions that are raised up against us that we've got to deal with in order to get to that place and stay in that place of the might of God. It is a conscious recognition of the fact that I've got a Savior who came to the depths of my heart and all of my need, and there is nothing and nowhere that He cannot come and meet that need. These three barriers are, number one, sin. You see, from its defiling and condemning power, the Bible said the soul that sins shall surely die. But there's something about a dying man or a dying woman that is very difficult to deal with, and the ministers know what I'm talking about. My first week of ministry in this church 30 years ago, I got the call, such and such a person, Lorraine Community Hospital. You've got to visit them. They're in critical care. They took a bullet to the head last night. They want you to come and pray. Okay. And when I walked into the room, I saw a man whose head was four times the size of a normal man's head, who couldn't make out the features of his face, who was hooked up with every possible life-saving device. And it was my responsibility to pray a prayer of faith over him. The effects and the defilement of sin, whether it be an angry and confused young man that Patrick and Troy were talking about, cursing at God and challenging Him to make Himself real, or whether it's a 14-year-old girl out of her bedroom window and into a car of a friend and driving four and five states from where she lives to get out from under the authority of her parents, finding herself on the streets of a major metropolitan city, having to sell her body to make it and to pay for the drugs of which she's become addicted. The defilement and the separation of sin. Whether that be that raw course of description that I just laid for you, or be it the more subtle, deceptive type of sin, where we dress it up and put a white collar on it, and we just embezzle the money when nobody's looking, and everybody still thinks you're all right, and everybody still believes that you're respected in the community. The defilement and the separation of what we call sin, it is a barrier to the place of might. It is a roadblock to the place of the glory of God. And too many of us, as confessing, believing Christians, are living on the other side of the wall called sin. And the glory and the might of God resides on the other side of the wall, but we can't get through the barrier called sin. But that's why Jesus came. That's why the glory of God was manifested in Bethlehem on that Christmas morn. Because He put Himself between the sin and the sinner. He put Himself between the sin and the guilt that was in the sinner. And he laid himself out as a sacrifice because he knew the depths of your need and was willing to pay the price so that we could walk through the barrier called sin and walk into the glory of God. Give him some praise in here. Come on. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord for the voice of triumph, because we now have the victory. Don't ever become so familiar with the old time message of sin being nailed to a cross that it no longer moves you. It no longer causes emotion in your heart. It no longer offers thanksgiving off of your lips. The barrier called sin. And Jesus opened the pathway. I recognized something as I woke this morning. I have a pathway made for me to greatness. I'll never live an average day in my life. I'll never live a day of defeat in my life. I'll never live a day of doubt and fear in my life. Why? Because Jesus made a pathway. A pathway through the barrier of sin, of which all I have to do now is walk. Come on. All I have to do is walk. All I have to do is get up and walk. You see, my walk is with God. My walk is with God. My walk is not with sin. My walk is with God. My walk is not with fear. My walk is with favor. My walk is with God. He opened up the pathway to the glory and the might of His strength. God, You're good to me. God, You're good to me. But there was a second barrier. For if it's not sin, that it becomes something as great called sin, self. Isaiah 62 and 10 tells us to go through the gates, prepare a way for the people, remove the stones, that there may be a pathway to the kingdom of God. I must come to a mental recognition that I no longer live. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I must recognize something, that what I think is not to be even considered. How I feel is irrelevant to what He says. What you think, say, how you feel is totally. Those used to be stones in my shoe. Those used to be boulders in my path. Those used to be blockades and barriers and walls that contained me. But I understood something about this Christ who came to remove the boulders, remove the barriers. Self, the propensity to exalt me, was nailed to the cross. Therefore, we can conclude that when we exalt ourselves, we have failed to exalt Him. If I am exalting myself, I have come down off the cross. I have left the place of might. I have left the place of glory. And now I'm living in myself. We are a generation who have learned how to live in this place. We are comfortable in the place of sin, and we are even more comfortable in the place of self, because we have been indoctrinated and we have been taught, we've been instructed from the very beginnings of our education that you have a right, you have an opinion, you have the ability to make your own choices. It's your life. Nobody has that authority. It's free speech. It has a right to bear arms. You can be anything you want to be. And while those truths are true, there are those that are error. And the only time that there is deception is when there is partial truth wrapped up and cloaked with total error. So it doesn't matter how you feel about your marriage, or how you feel about the assignment God gave you, or how you feel about your job or your preacher or whomever, your spouse. It is, what did God say? So I have to deny myself. It's the only way to the place of might, the place of God's glory. You see, I want to see the glory of God, but in practical ways. I don't want to see it ever again if all it is limited to is some major crusade hall where somebody gets a healing, a devil screams and flees. When miracles are seen, those are great. I want to see them. But if that's the only place that I've ever seen that might manifest it, I never want to see it again. I want to see it when I come to your home. I want to see it in your children. I want to see it in your finances. I want to see it in your marriage. I want to see it where you work. I want to see it in your neighborhood. The might of God. Where sin no longer exists. Oh, it's almost angelic. Oh, Lord, my God. And we sing with 20,000 voices. From the lips of sinners and selfish Christians. Because when the party's over and the lights have been turned out, and the t-shirts and the records and all the paraphernalia, all the Jesus junk has been sold. Pardon me, I know it's only a week before Christmas, but let me have my way. And we go back in our cars, and on our way home, suddenly the walls are still there. The barrier called sin, the barrier called self, has not been removed. And I said, God, I'm going to march, and I'm going to march, and I'm going to shout, and I'm going to shout until the walls come tumbling down. Until you raise up a people where everybody in their generation says it cannot be, it cannot happen. There is no possible way that the walls of self and sin could ever be crumbled. But I declare by the power of God in the place that Jesus has come to give us on this earth, there is no barrier, there is no wall that cannot come down for the glory of His kingdom. And I think you and I today need to make a commitment this Christmas 2006 that you refuse to live on the other side of the barrier called sin and a barrier called self. Come on, lift up your voice and shout to the Lord. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Self-righteousness. So religious. Now I know why some traditions require robes and collars. Now I know why. Because you have to cover. You have to stiff neck yourself. You have to create an image. You have to intimidate the common man, the ordinary person who just trying to love Jesus, you got to come in with all your pomp and your entourage, and you got to make me look like I'm nothing in comparison to what you say you are and do and have. But underneath that robe, baby, on the other side of that collar, religion will exalt you. Religion will exalt you. And there is only one that is to be exalted. Lift your hands with me right now. We exalt you, Jesus. We declare with our mouths, we will exalt you all the days of our life. And none other shall we exalt, only Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. When I think of Calvary, I think of Jesus on the cross and looking up at his face and looking at the crown of thorns. And I think of Calvary, I think of the side that was pierced, and rightly so. I think of the sponge of vinegar and bitterness that was brought up to his mouth. And I see that. I see Mary and I see John, and I see those that were toying with him and gambling for his garments. But there's another side to the cross. There's a backside of Calvary that no one wants to visit. There's a backside of Calvary where we don't read, nor does the artist portray. For if you were to go back to that side, you would see a rough-hewn timber. You would see but just the image and outline of a man suspended between heaven and earth. And there along the backside of his thighs and buttocks would be the ribbons of flesh that were stripped from his back with the cat of nine tails. And there, as the clouds would grow dark and the winds would begin to blow and the ground began to shake and thunder, and the cross would be jilted and jolted, that Jesus shaking upon that cross and the ribbons of flesh flung in the wind, oozing with his precious life blood. It's that side of the cross where this evil world was crucified. Where all of its hate and all of its sorrow and grief and all its anger there was laid on the backside. For by his stripes, you and I were healed. The prophet Isaiah gives us an understanding in chapter 53 of being bruised and wounded. The bruises that go deep within our life, sometimes from the moment that we're born and we're rejected by parents who either find a microwave or a dryer to place us in, or to put us in a garage and leave us and abandon us. From the moment of our birth, the bruises begin to appear. You see, these are wounds not on the external that can be seen with the naked eye, but they're internal, and they cause bleeding on the inside. And it was for those that Jesus died upon that cross. And this world has afflicted and smitten every one of us and bruised us on the inside. Whether it be the greatest sorrow of our father leaving our family for another woman, or whether it be him coming into our bedroom late at night, Daddy, what are you doing and why? Or whether it be the injustice of a loved one whose life was taken before its time. He was bruised. And you see, this evil world attempts to keep us from that place of might. I'm so angry, I'm so bruised, and I'm so hurt, and I'm so filled with pain, and I'm so filled with rage that I cannot get to the glory of God. But I've got to tell you this morning, hallelujah, Christ was born. And because he was born, he brought down the barrier called sin. He brought down the barrier called self. He brought down the barrier called this evil world. And there is not one thing, one element that can keep you from coming to the glory and the power and the might and the presence of God. All you have to do is get up and walk. All you got to do is get up and walk. And you say, I can't walk. I'm too tired. I'm too busted. I'm too bruised. I'm too hurt. Well, then I'll help you walk. Somebody will help you walk. Get up under my shoulder, and those that are too weak, he that is strong, carry the burdens of he who has no strength and bring him to Calvary. Come on down the pathway to the deliverance of Jesus Christ and find the might and the glory of God. He's here for you today. He's here for me. He's here for every one of us. He's here for every situation of pain and sorrow and suffering and shame. Is called the Son of the Highest. Say that with me. Son of the Highest. Why was he called the Son of the Highest? Because the Highest descended into the lowest. And Ephesians 4 said, into the very bowels of hell. So we, the lowest, could ascend to the Highest. I'm on my way up today. I'm on my way up. I'm on my way up. I may have gotten on the elevator just a little bit earlier than you, but all you've got to do is hit the call button. If you hit the call button, we'll stop and we'll put you up on, we'll put you on the floor. I may have been on this elevator for a little bit longer than you, but it doesn't matter. Just push the call button. It doesn't matter if you've lived your life an alcoholic. It doesn't matter if you lived your life as a drug addict. It doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've done to other people and what all the mistakes that you've made. Just push the call button. If you just call upon the name of the Lord, every person can be saved. He who was the highest descended to the lowest. For we who were in the lowest can ascend into the highest. In verse 37 of my text of Luke chapter 1, the Bible says, all power and authority was given unto him. Why? Because he wanted to give us that might and give us that power. The Son of the Highest. I like this one. In love. The Highest in love descended to the lowest in love, that we who are in the lowest of love can ascend to the highest of love. I have to tell you, when Jesus found me, all I knew was Eros. All I knew was maybe Phileo. Love my children, love my family. Eros, lust, erotica. But he who was the highest in love descended to the lowest, that he who was in the lowest could ascend to the highest. And now I've learned to operate in agape, which is the highest form of love that says, there's no conditions on my love for you. You can do what you want and say what you want, but I'll still love you. It changes nothing. For God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It changes and revolutionizes the entire world. And then the power of God. We who were weak in ourselves, he who was strong became weak, that we who were weak can become strong. He who was rich became poor for our sakes, that we who were poor can become rich. Wow. What a Christmas story. What a Christmas story. What a message of hope. What a joyous time. What a reason for the season. What a time to get your dance on. What a time to have some eggnog and some punch and some apple pie. What a time to cook a turkey and have some ham. What a time to buy a present and rejoice with somebody and tell them, I love you just because of who you are. Verse 32 of Luke 1, it says they're going to give him a throne. My question to you this morning is, have you given Jesus a throne? A throne is used to reign. And the Bible says in verse 33, he was going to reign over the house of Jacob, not Israel. Notice that. I like that. That gives me hope. Because Jacob refers to the flesh. And I said, Jesus, if I can give you a throne, that means you will rule and reign over my flesh. You mean the devil won't make me do it anymore? Have you given Jesus a throne? Have you given him a place today? And then finally, I love this part. Jesus' kingdom, there shall be no end. That means there's unlimited potential and unlimited possibility. If you have Jesus, you have unlimited potential, unlimited possibility. You may be in a place today, you say, Pastor, I'm up against the wall. That's all right. You're in the right place. Because if you've come as far as you can come, and your face is up against the wall of sin, the wall of self, or the wall of this evil world, stand back and watch the glory of God. Because this wall's about to come down. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask you this question this morning. I've been standing on this floor of selfishness for a long time, waiting on this elevator. And I didn't know whether to push the call button, but I'm going to call today. And Pastor, if you'll pray for me, I'm going to call on God to come and get me and take me to another level of life. I've been bruised on the inside beyond description. I've bruised others on the inside. And I'm asking today for a healing from that backside of Calvary. I'm asking today, Jesus, that you take this guilt and shame off of me. I'm tired of living under the bondage of sin, contained by my own choosings. Jesus, come into my life right now. Set me free. Let me receive the Christ child, the Savior of the world. He knows the depths of your heart. No one looking around this morning, you say, Pastor, I need that prayer. Would you just pray for me? I'm here today and I'm up against the wall. I need prayer. If that's you, just lift your hand up. Hold it up there high enough for me to see it. Let me see it. Let me see it right now, right there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm up against the wall. I don't know what to do. I need Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have somebody to sing that song for me. There is none like you. Somebody else? Anybody else? Come on, lift your hand up quickly, quickly, quickly. Thank you. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Everybody with your hand raised, I want you to stand just quickly. Come on. Come on, just stand. Come on, just stand in the presence of Jesus. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Thank you, Jesus. God sees you. God sees you. God knows you. God knows where you're going. God knows what's happening in your life. He knows what you're up against. He knows the wall, how tall it is, how big it is, how thick it is. He knows and he cares. And he's going to bring it down now in Jesus' name. And Father, you see every person that's standing. And I pray right now, Lord, that your power and your might be manifested in this room. Upon every man, woman, boy, and girl, within the sound of my voice, I declare that wall, you've got to come down. In Jesus' name. Now everybody join my brothers and sisters that are on their feet. Everybody stand, please. Lift your hands up and sing this song to Him. Give Him a love song of praise. Come on. Give Him a love song of praise. Nobody moving, nobody leaving. Come on, stand up. Lift up your hands to Jesus.
There is no one else for me. None but Jesus, crucified to set me free. Now I live to Him in praise. In the chaos and confusion, I know Your sovereign still.
Come on, lift up your voice. Come on, sing this song. You can put the words up there for us.
In the moment of my weakness, You give me strength to do Your will. When You
call, give Him a love song.
I won't delay. This my song through all my day. There is no one else for me. None but Jesus, crucified to save.
Crucified to save.